For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about messy houses. Anybody out there that wants to hear a story about messy houses? Well, I want to give you some words of encouragement, too. But I do get a number of letters from people who consider this a serious problem. I mean, they really do not know what to do about it. And they write and ask me, what shall we do? Here's one right now. I should be in bed according to the bedtime schedule my husband sets. But I cannot sleep. I'm very anxious tonight, and all I can seem to think about is the 300-mile trip we have planned for tomorrow afternoon. We, my husband and two children, and I don't go too far from home often, mainly because we don't have the means. But anyway, I keep thinking about all the housework to be done. I seem to be forever in confusion about doing it. I was really never taught. My mom left when I was 7 years old, and then later I lived from place to place, home to home, never staying long enough to learn anything much about keeping a home, especially as a housewife and a somewhat new mother. So here we are, leaving for a night. Well, I'm feeling the urgency to clean and organize. But how? I think I'm finally at the end of my wits. I go in circles day by day, never knowing what to do with stuff. I get so frustrated, I just want to throw everything away that I cannot take to heaven. Obviously, some things we need, such as toothpaste, soap, clothes, and curtains, not to mention food. We don't have much, but it's too much for me to know what to do with. So I've gotten in a rut, especially since my husband was in Saudi Arabia for 7 months. I changed responsibilities while he was gone, and housework came second to mother, father, bill payer, etc. I know just enough to keep the house walkable. Isn't that an interesting expression? In other words, I guess you can get through each room if you thread your way through all the junk. Dishes clean enough to eat. But ever since Joe has come back a few weeks ago, I just am not doing as well as I would have and want to be. I listen to you. You say house does reflect a person's spiritual life. Well, I'm sure if you came to my house, you would wonder if I ever finish anything I start besides dishes and vacuuming. Okay, let me stop reading right at that point and say my suggestion would be, obviously, when you get back from that trip, you can't get this all done before tomorrow afternoon, but when you get back from the trip, then take one room at a time, probably the kitchen. Is the most vital because you've got to be in that room 3 times a day, and it's pretty important what comes out of that room, isn't it? So I would say take the kitchen and stand in the doorway with the Lord Jesus. Ask the Lord Jesus to come with you into your kitchen. Stand there and look around at the mess. In the first place, you undoubtedly have far too many things on the counters. Is that right? Too many things on the counters. Well, maybe you've got to have the coffee machine there and the blender and the electric mixer and a whole lot of appliances, but maybe you don't. Think about it. Now, how often exactly do you use that electric mixer? Is it maybe once a month? Well, if so, then possibly you could put that somewhere else, maybe even in the garage. But what you need is clean countertops. It is amazing how that will just affect your whole life. I find when I go into people's homes that very often the counters are so cluttered that there's not more than about 2 or 3 square feet of space in which to do the actual work that you have to do to get the next meal. You know, you've got to have some place to put your cutting board and a place to put the dirty dishes when you clear the table. So start with that and just ask the Lord to help you to put things away, put them in the cupboards. Well, then, of course, the next problem you're going to tell me, oh, are you kidding me? Put something else in my cupboards? They're so full now that when I open the door, stuff falls out. Well, okay, take one shelf at a time. Don't imagine that you can do this whole job in one day, maybe not even in a week. But if you did one drawer in a day, that would be progress, wouldn't it? And maybe seven drawers would take care of all the drawers you have in the kitchen in a week. But take one shelf. Are there things on that shelf that you don't use very often? Put them in a box. Just start with maybe a laundry basket or a box and take away the things that you don't use every day. And so it goes. I can't tell you each step, but one drawer, one shelf, maybe only one section of the counter. And if you'll bring some boxes into the kitchen and just start putting things in those boxes that you don't have any other place to put them until you've cleaned out your cupboards or cleaned out your drawers, then after you've taken an inventory of everything, I think the Lord will show you if you're serious about wanting to live an ordered life. Now, why do I think that an ordered life has anything to do with your spiritual life? The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. God loves things in an orderly way. God does things in an orderly way, doesn't he? Think of the order in the universe, the order in the stars, the limit to which the ocean can come. He has set limits on things. He has created creatures whose molecules arrange themselves in exactly the way that God intended so that they will turn out to be a camel or a clam as God intended. Think of the order in the human body, the symmetry. Two eyes, two arms, two legs, a nose in the middle, a mouth in the middle. Symmetry, order. God can help you, and I know that God wants to. Now, another letter that goes along with this, but is on the other extreme, perhaps, it's an antidote to this first letter. She says, "It is my belief that if we keep life simple, be wise to what is needed and what is not, we avoid a false insecurity." I was glad for this letter because I never really had thought about the fact that collecting things feeds our insecurities. She says, the more we collect to feed our insecurities, the more we lose sight of the one true security for life. And that is a personal relationship with Christ. In this world, there are many gimmicks to excite our sense of insecurity, and they all fiercely compete against the relationship. We are self-focused and out to fight that uncomfortable insecurity. To convince oneself there is something wrong with me only adds to insecurity with how we relate to God. God meets us just where we are. He knows everything about the insecurity and what is causing it. Think about that. Do you collect those little plastic tabs that are used on bread bags? Well, you can use a certain amount of those little plastic tabs, and I would suggest that if you do collect things like that or wire twistems or rubber bands, that you have a tuna fish can somewhere in the kitchen for each of those things. But when the tuna fish can is about half full, you don't need to collect any more of those plastic tabs, do you? You can use 20 of them maybe, but you can't use 469. When you start cleaning out those drawers, you may find that you've got plastic tabs and rubber bands and paper clips and all sorts of things that can be put in an orderly place. Those little drawer organizers that you can get at the grocery store, they're very useful. I could never get along without organizing my drawers, but you want to know my secret? I don't always buy plastic organizers that cost me money. I save little boxes. And every one of my drawers, I think every drawer in the house, has boxes in it so that the stuff is not just slewing all around in the drawer every time you open the drawer. Maybe your drawers are packed so full that they can't. But think about the fact that perhaps the reason you're accumulating so much stuff is a sense of insecurity. You need to get rid of the junk and ask the Lord seriously, over each thing as you go through the clutter, do I need this? A very good help to me when I ask myself that question is, have I used this in the past year? If the answer is no, then you know you can get along with it for the next year. You've gotten through 1 year, you can get through the next. Where does your security lie? The Bible says, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Is it your money or your life? Is it your possessions or your life? Think about life with a capital L. Is your life in order? Are you weighed down with clutter? When you come home with something new, a new dress, a new pot for the kitchen, does the old dress and the old pot go to the thrift shop or the Salvation Army or the garage sale? Or do you just keep jamming stuff into the house? It's a good idea to take something out every time something new comes in. And I think that when we begin to find our security in Christ and take seriously the matter of simplifying our lives in order that we can live in an orderly, peaceful fashion, we're going to realize that we're much more at peace. God wants you to live a life of order and peace, and where there's no order, there's no peace.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.